This final part five, Proving God Exists, presents the big picture. This series represents a tiny fraction of all that could be presented. It could easily have been 10 parts without exhausting what's available. We will look at what God says in His Word about why so many refuse to believe He exists, at the reason many intelligent scientists and evolutionists remain blind. Again, watch to the end.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, author of 80 books and booklets, editor-in-chief of The Real Truth magazine, read by countless and growing numbers in every nation and territory of the world. In a violent age full of war, famine, pollution, disease, disasters, and economic uncertainty, and ever-worsening bad news, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come. And now, David C. Pack.
World-famous astronomist Carl Sagan came to believe God exists, that no other explanation for the universe was possible. A fascinating quote from his book, Pale Blue Dot, written after seeing a picture of Earth taken from Voyager 1, 4 billion miles away, brings powerful perspective to objective thinkers. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, you know, you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hero and coward, creator and destroyer of civilization, king and peasant, every young couple in love, mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, corrupt politician, superstar, supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors so that, in glory and triumph, they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another. How fervent their hatreds. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. Yet the greatest help any could imagine is coming and is just over the horizon. Finally, it has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known. Humbled by facts and reality, Carl Sagan knew God existed. All should ponder his words. Sagan wondered about the origin of all things, but died realizing he never knew the purpose for life. You can, and we will touch on it at the end. Many discuss proofs of God's existence, but none address why intelligent people do not and will not believe He does, no matter what. Evolutionists and atheists are deeply vested in their only alternative to accepting, believing in, and obeying God. Why? God describes those who refuse to accept the mountain of evidence proving His existence. He is strong and blunt. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, the Greek is hold back, the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, obvious in them. For God has showed it unto them. Notice what follows. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I warned it was strong. Modern science is without excuse when it chooses to believe evolution and chooses to ignore God's existence. You've heard, there is none so blind as he who refuses to see. If people refuse truth, evidence, clear proof of God's existence, it is willful blindness. Remember, God states, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God used the Apostle Paul to underscore the real problem. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature, that's creation, and scientists often do, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. The margin says, void of judgment. God says he gave those who reject him minds void of judgment. They cannot think straight. They can see scientific facts, but cannot come to right conclusions. And you can't get them to. I know, I've tried. They won't bend, but will look at you piteously because you were ignorant. Don't succumb to their scorn. Such people are tragically confused. Choices they made early on caused God to make his own choice about what to do with their minds. The Bible reveals that God did this to them after they elevated themselves and began worshiping their own thinking. Paul describes what this leads to. Also very strong, it reads exactly like the world all around you. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. The Bible teaches the carnal or natural mind is enmity, meaning hostile, against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is the natural tendency of all human beings, although most would never believe or admit it without God's help. Here's why. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it or who would believe it? There is no proof, evidence, fact, logic, or sound reasoning that could ever cause anyone who is unwilling to set aside their natural prejudice against believing in and yielding to the authority of a loving God to accept that authority. Innate bias against belief in an all-powerful God who tells them how to live keeps most from admitting the proofs you have seen. An outright hypocrisy adds to why atheists and evolutionists resist the truth. Universities are hotbeds of atheism, where anti-God professors actually persecute students they can't break from believing God exists. And each year they cause thousands who cannot handle the pressure and often public humiliation to collapse into their arms. This is what you can be up against. It's my hope this series will help you and your family survive such attacks. Consider all we've discussed about the universe and its contents. Planets, stars, galaxies, plants, animals, humans, and the human mind. Assume you have all power to create whatever you wish. Could you have created this much beauty, majesty, design, size, precision of engineering, and magnificence by yourself, with no help from anyone? Remember, you would have no pattern to copy. Could you design 1 trillion galaxies, each with about 100 billion stars, with no pattern to copy? Would you think to create light and have it travel 186,000 miles per second? Could you think to make sound move at 660 miles per hour? Could you create every kind of atom known to science, including all subatomic particles in them? Would you then think to merge some atoms into complex molecules, able to serve a myriad of indescribably complicated purposes? Could you design millions of plants, many that are interdependent on each other? Then could you design, again, no pattern to follow, 13 million animals and insects, all perfectly interdependent, but also dependent on the entire plant world? What of all the food for both plants and animals, so they would be sustained through whatever time you allotted them to live? I could go on. With 1,000 people helping for 1,000 lifetimes, this could never be done. Be careful. Don't insult yourself or God by believing your mind is a product of dumb luck, by suggesting the whole universe and its contents could just happen into existence entirely by itself. Because ignorant, foolish atheists are willing to believe this, honest, informed people would never believe such folly just because such men say so. The following is God's challenge to all who are lifted with pride. The patriarch Job's friend presents great questions about the creation of earth and the universe and describes God's power and brilliance. God thunders marvelously with his voice. Great things does he, which we cannot comprehend. For he says to the snow, "Be you on the earth," likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south comes the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breadth of the waters is straightened. Hearken, Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. This series has done this. Do you know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Do you know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? Have you with him spread out the sky, which is strong and is a molten looking glass? Teach us what we shall say unto him, God, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Concerning the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear or obey him. He respects not any that are humanly wise of heart. God said to Job what could be written to atheists or you. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? We call this clouding the issue. Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, and answer you me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? The universe doesn't fly apart. Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars, that's angels, sang together, and all the sons of God, again angels, shouted for joy at the time of creation. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and broke up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shall you come, but no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days, and caused the day spring to know its place? Have you entered into the springs of the sea? The Bible revealed these thousands of years before men learned of them. Or have you walked in the search of the depth? Have you perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if you know it all. Where is the way where light dwells? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that you should take it to the bound thereof, and that you should know the paths to the house thereof? Know you it, because you were then born, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered into the treasures of the snow, Or have you seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scatters the east wind upon the earth? Who has divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the white frost of heaven? Who has gendered it? God then speaks of the entire universe, including constellations. Can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Can you bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or can you guide Arcturus with his suns? Know you the ordinances of heaven? Can you set the dominion thereof in the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that abundance of waters may cover you? Can you send lightnings that they may go and say unto you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who has given understanding to the human heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Who provides for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make her nest on high? She dwells and abides on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeks the prey. How interesting that Job concludes his book with, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Job thought he saw God, but learned the painful lesson that he fell far short of this. This long passage shows the vastness and majesty of God's creative genius. Again, be careful suggesting his marvelous universe and its contents could just happen into existence by itself. Some who have accepted evolution have not turned to outright atheism, but influenced by evolutionary thinking, modern theologians, religionists, and ministers have not honestly explored the subject of God in light of the plain facts from history and Scripture. These have professed Christianity, meaning they want to appear to be followers of the God of creation, but these men have not been willing to face the facts about their God. They have not been willing to come to full understanding of the true God, the living God. Then, in succession, millions of their parishioners, also unwilling to explore the facts for themselves, follow these deceived men. They remain duped by dishonest, seductive arguments designed by the God of this world. In their vanity, recall Romans 1:22, they foolishly reject vital knowledge. The result? So many have unnecessarily become darkened, blinded to plain understanding of God. Ask, why is there such widespread confusion and division, such disagreement about God? Why is the subject of God not clear, plain to the common man? The Bible declares God is not the author of confusion. God never wants his servants confused. Why then have so many been willing to accept without question this confusion about God? So many say, God just doesn't seem real to me, but they seem willing to let him remain this way. Not only do the masses stand in ignorance of life's most important knowledge, including the identity of the true God and correct understanding of the many truths he teaches, most do not appear to care. Billions seem not to want to know, to want to solve the mysteries of God and his word. Strangely, they seem willing to read a mystery book, knowing in advance the mystery will not be solved. The single most important knowledge in the universe would be that of the true God. What could be more important than which God one worships? Billions have asked, who and what is God? This central question has confounded man for millennia. He has still not found the answer. With the explosion of new and different brands of Christianity, confusion about God has not lessened in the modern age, and the so-called great religions of the world have only made it worse. Yet, Correctly identifying the true God is the biggest issue towering over everything in life. It is at the core of all that is truth. For those who believe God authored the Bible, Christians, the question comes into sharper focus. Who and what is the God of the Bible? Consider this question. Which would be better? Having correct understanding of every doctrine in the Bible, but having neither true knowledge of nor contact with the God who inspired it? Or having no knowledge of Bible truth except the nature and identity of the true God and contact with Him? Consider further. The Bible is filled with scores of truths. The gospel, salvation, baptism, the law, the role of Christ, God's master plan, the purpose of the family, scores of prophetic truths, and many more. Think, if one knew and were worshiping the true God, he would automatically be led into all the right knowledge offered by that God, revealed only to those who have a relationship with him. The true God would not leave one in ignorance about how he was to be worshiped. Knowledge of all truths in his word flows from contact with the right God. Possessing all knowledge would be utterly useless if one were worshiping the wrong God. God must reveal himself to any who come to know him. He must distinguish himself from all other supposed deities. Set aside all personal bias and see if God is revealing himself to you. Let's ask, what is the ultimate difference between the God of the Bible and every other God? How does he differentiate himself from all others? Throughout Scripture, God describes himself as the living God, the eternal, I am that I am, the name in Exodus he told Moses to use before Pharaoh. This God separates himself from all others by saying he is alive, living, meaning all other gods are non-existent or, in a sense, dead. Put another way, the true God states, I am, meaning other gods are not, period. Ask yourself, having now proven God exists, are you worshiping the true God, the God who is alive, or something non-existent and dead, a God who is not? This question towers over all others before you. Think of what's at stake in whether there is a God. If so, would he have a purpose for mankind? Human beings would be left to research and prove what it is. They could no longer hide behind atheism or agnosticism. They would be without excuse if they chose not to pursue why they were born. At some point, most people wonder why they are here. What's the purpose of human life? Yet, like Carl Sagan, they live and die never knowing the truth, or even that they could have known. A deceived world has been kept from knowing the vital missing dimension to resolving all mankind's problems. Scientists, theologians, educators, and philosophers have remained ignorant of the truth of why man exists. And yet this awesome truth, this amazing knowledge has always been available, but most have not known where to look. This is revealed knowledge, unattainable to all whom God has not called to learn his truth. Realize that disproving evolution automatically proves God's existence. In light of intolerance disguised as political correctness, let's ask, how soon before bringing the facts, the truth of God's existence or his creation, which necessarily debunks evolution and atheism, is called politically incorrect and intolerant hate speech? All while scorners who outright attack God's existence and thus God himself, as well as his creation account and creationists, are deemed open-minded and enlightened. But despite persecution, we never fear, nor should you, scoffers who don't fear God and reject all proofs that he exists. We do fear for them. God will soon prove to all mankind that he exists by supernaturally intervening in world affairs. He will demonstrate this to the entire world in awesome ways. Before the end time is over, no one on earth will be an atheist. Incredible miracles done by God and the devil's servants will remove all doubt. Ask, What if God revealed in advance what he plans to do? Would you not do everything in your power to secure that knowledge firmly in mind so you are ready when he does? Or would you rather be blindsided by this great God, willing to roll the dice that maybe he does not exist if you just say so? To those who choose the latter, the greatest events in history will slam into them with incomprehensible force. If you choose not to know, remember, this was your choice. You knew exactly what you did. A final all-important question arises. Which is worse, atheists who refuse to admit God exists and he calls fools, or those who do accept God exists but do not diligently seek him? The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. The Bible contains God's instruction to mankind. He expects those willing to read it to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, or the margin says, right. Surely God would not expect that we assume his existence, but prove everything else from his word. Read our free booklets, Does God Exist? And Bible Authority, Can It Be Proven? Also, our free book, The Awesome Potential of Man, explains God's master plan for you and all mankind. Do not miss the next broadcast answering, Can a Christian Believe Evolution? It will change you. This series has not been a mere case for God or a case against evolution. With irrefutable, undeniable proof, you have seen both atheism and evolution exposed and destroyed as fictions created by men who refuse to obey God. Winston Churchill said, "Men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing ever happened." You have heard truth. In fact, what truth could be greater? Through reason, science, plain logic, and scripture, we have absolute proof that only a being of supreme intelligence could stand as designer and architect of the universe with all its complex life, including the pinnacle, the human mind. Now, what will your mind do with so much undeniable proof? Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying, goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.